It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from the Bojangles Studio and Black Powder Headquarters on the side of Sassafras Mountain in North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Oh, man, it's going to snow.
What?
Yeah, it's going to snow tonight here in North Georgia. But that's okay, because one of the things we're talking about today are the coldest, the wettest, the hottest days that you've spent in the outdoors. And let's jump right into the calls, if you will, please. Let's go ahead and start with Jerry. He's on his way to work. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Outstanding. What is your coldest, wettest, or hottest day?
First thing I want to do, I want to apologize to your phone operator because I'm a first-time caller, and I gave him my whole life story.
Well, that's okay.
So I want him to be, thank him for being patient. My coldest day is going to be about exactly like yours. It was on Lake Lanier probably in the, early to mid-90s, and it was like 13 degrees that day. And same thing with the steering cables, and I just remember ice being in my fishing eyes. All day, rod eyes all day long. But one guy won it with like two fish, about the same thing you had. But my main reason for calling, I want to ask you, you were speaking about Thomas Sowell.
Yes.
And I worked for the Atlanta Journal for a long time, and I was a press operator, and I really always enjoyed reading his articles, but I always knew him as a more like a political columnist, and you said he was an outdoor writer. Did he write for a
magazine? No, he was a writer of economics.
Economics, okay,
yes.
All right. Okay, yeah, well, I don't know. I really did enjoy Thomas Sowell, and I was listening to you this morning when you brought him up. I really like everything he wrote. I enjoyed reading.
Oh, yes, it was plain, it was informative, it was real researched, and it made sense. He is a conservative.
Yes, he definitely is, and a very level-headed one at that.
Oh, absolutely. I think he lives in San Francisco, and he is a senior fellow at Stanford University. Yes.
Yeah. Did he write for a paper in Washington?
He writes for columns for newspapers and magazines almost weekly nationwide or even worldwide.
Okay. Well, that's good. I hope he enjoys his retirement, and I wish him well. And thanks again for taking my call.
You bet. Glad you called, pal. 13 degrees, huh?
Yeah, 13.
That was a high. That was a good one.
Yeah. All right, you have a good day.
You bet. Thanks, pal. Hey, look what we've got here. Here's Don calling from
Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
You're the greatest, man. What's your coldest day fishing or hunting?
Well, I don't know about the coldest, but I'm going to talk to you about the hottest.
And?
We were about 50 miles offshore bottom fishing at a wreck off, and it was one of those days when there wasn't any breeze at all. You heard about that the mosquito could land on the water and create a ripple. It was like that. And we were close to over 100 degrees out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some air conditioner right below us, but there was about four hammerhead sharks swimming around below us. So one of the fellas said he had heard that hammerheads wouldn't bother a human, but nobody wanted to test that theory, you know. So
I wouldn't have.
But the fishing was good, and we were doing good. But when we looked at about 6 miles away from us, and there was a rain squall.
Uh-huh.
So we gave up the fishing and went over to the rain squall and got out of that. But that was one of those days that you remember, it's not for the fishing. It remembers for the conditions you're in, you know. So.
And how long ago was that, Don?
That was about 5 years ago.
Okay. Some of the trips, the things that occur on our fishing and outdoor excursions last a lifetime.
They do that.
I know my coldest day at Hartwell was, the low was 3, the high was 9, and that was 1979.
Wow.
I wouldn't do that now.
Ross and one of his friends came over here one time, and we were out there fishing with him, and we'd caught a bunch of crabs. I had a 54-quart cooler full of steam crab,
uh-huh.
And he and his friend were fishing, and me and the other guy was a local. We were eating crabs, and they were fishing, and then we were throwing the crab parts overboard. And we had the darndest king bite that day we've ever had, I think.
I'll be darned.
That crab.
Kingfish.
Kingfish, yep.
Mighty fine.
Yep.
All right. Glad you called, Don. Have a great weekend, pal.
Enjoy your show, Captain.
You bet. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Let's let Don go his way. And now let's talk to Mac and learn something.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Hey, listen, I'm fine. Thank you. You permit me the excuse of not speaking with you last week. We had technical difficulties.
That's no problem. I figured, well, when I turned the radio on and I wasn't on the phone and I heard myself.
Uh-huh.
I
well, there you go.
Yeah, it was early. Been a while trying to figure, but I figured that out pretty quick. So anyway.
Well, how's the fishing at Lake Lanier? What's going on with you, sir?
Lemire's been fishing strong. The big cold front we had a couple of days ago set us back a little bit, but still good. A couple of things if you're going striper fishing. We still got a lot of fish eating little bitty baits, so make sure you got some medium shiners in the spread. But I would put a mix. I've been pulling a lot of gizzard shad. The gizzard shad, if nothing else, or a big bait, if they won't eat it, he'll still draw a lot of attraction. I think he's pulling a lot of fish in your bait spread.
So oh, I see. Good idea.
Yeah, dedicate one line to a big bait, but mix it up. Some little ones will be good. If you're going bass fishing is good. And the simplest pattern, this is always a good pre-spawn pattern, get you a weedless wonder, shaky head,
uh-huh,
a robo worm, and start pounding docks, and you'll catch lots of fish. And you might not catch a lot of big fish doing this, but if you just want to catch fish and have fun, that bite's wide open. If you want to catch the bigger fish, maybe switch to a jig or another good pattern. You can take that same weedless wonder and put a worm or cinco on it and just fish it on like little secondary rock points and stuff. You have a lot of fun catch plenty of fish. So that's been good. And it might slow down a little bit today. You know, we're going to have the high blues and post-frontal conditions, but I still think they'll bite and it'll be a good day. And crappie fishing's good. But think spawn there. A lot of those fish are really shallow in the backs of the creeks and pockets pushing up there, getting ready to make it happen for the spring. So, but all in all, very good. Pre-spawn patterns are strong, and fishing's good across the board.
You just need to go.
Just get up. It's time.
It's time to go. What's your coldest day?
Man, I got, you know, I've had a lot of them, and I'm like you. I try not to do that anymore. It took me a while to learn. But one day, you know, I all the stories about things freezing, motors freezing, rods, reels freezing, cables, all that. I've done that many times. But the one thing I remember, I had some guys, I begged them not to go, but I said, if you just have to go, I'll take it. I was 11 degrees or something when we started.
Uh-huh.
We took off up the lake, and after we got, went through the before-mentioned things of cables and motors, we finally got going. I took off up the lake, and this is back in the day. Everybody had vinyl rain suits, and I got sitting on a front starboard side, and the wind was blowing over. And every time those little waves would break over the top of him, that water would hit his back and run down his back.
Oh, no.
He actually froze. When he got up, we rode quite a ways because I was trying to get up the lake to get out of the wind. And enough water ran down him. You know, we rode 20 minutes, and it froze him to the deck of the boat, literally.
Uh-huh.
And I stopped, and I thought, man, I just don't know how bright this is, but I'll never forget that. I had to push him around a little bit to get him unthawed.
I haven't heard that before.
We had enough ice on the side of the boat when I ran up there. The boat was listing at about a 10-15 degree angle because it froze. The whole side of the boat was just a sheet of ice running up through there, and I thought, And I've not done that again since and probably won't.
If you can avoid it.
I'm going to avoid it next year.
There you go.
I learned my lesson.
Unless it's a surprise.
Yeah. No, we'll stay at home on those mornings and drink coffee. So, but anyway.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. Have you got some open days coming up this spring and summer? Because, you know what, let's see. Today it's March. It's almost, well, middle of March. So by July, the fishing is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll just get better, really. That's hard for people to imagine. It's good now. It's going to get better, and it will continue to be good on it. Actually, with striper fishing, it won't peak, in my opinion, until the summer. So we got lots of good fishing left. But you can reach us at Captain Max online, CaptMacks, or 770-271-0851.
I hope you get lots of calls, pal.
I'm sure we will. Thank you, O'Neill. Have a great day, and we won't talk to you next weekend because you'll be neck deep in the turkeys. But we'll get
the next week is the turkey show. You bet.
That's always fun. Always enjoy listening to that and enjoy listening to guys from DNR. So have fun. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
You bet. See you soon, pal. There you go. All right, Ace is calling on, we've got time to, well, we don't have time to do this. We need to get out of here just for a minute. Ace, you stay right there. And when we return, it'll be the radio prize package. I promise. This is O'Neill. I'll be back.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. Before I talk to Asa and the rest of you, let me tell you, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 800-WSB-TALK. Here are the rules for the radio prize package. You have to be 18 years old, and you cannot have ever won a prize package before. So here we go. A Shakespeare rod and reel, which you have to give to a child. $10 Bojangle gift card. A Fire Aid fire extinguisher. A Realtree hat and decal. A Roadrunner lure. Fishing game forecaster. Angler magazine. Georgia State DNR magazine. Dude magazine. Two tickets to the Go Fish Center. A DNR hat. State Parks and Historics Guide, a can of Fisher's Choice wax worms, a Cloak scent-free clothes wash, and a bug band packet. And the question is, O'Neill has been describing his coldest day fishing. On what lake did I tell you that occurred? Okay, call in and win. Now let's talk to Asa, and he's already on the line, so Asa cannot answer. Good morning, sir.
Wow, that takes all the fun out of it now.
Yeah, I got you, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should have waited, hung up, called right back.
You could do that. But I can tell you right now that in the last 5 seconds, somebody has the right answer already.
Oh, I believe it.
So you coming home from fishing? Are you on the way home from fishing?
No, I'm on the way home from work.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. It's nice to have a job.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't going to be so cold tomorrow night, I'd be out there crappie fishing.
Yeah, I know it. Well, crappie fishing is outstanding right now, and you know that already.
Oh, yeah. I took me and the old man went out about 2 weeks ago, and we stayed out there as long as he could stand the cold. He couldn't stand it. We come on in.
I don't blame you.
I put him on him. I didn't end up catching a whole lot because they wasn't biting on my end of the boat.
I understand.
First one to come out of the water down in West Point.
Uh-huh.
16 inches long. I didn't have a scale on me, so I'm going to estimate 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds.
Wow.
So they're moving.
That is a giant crappie.
I've seen bigger come out of there.
Yeah.
But they're full of eggs right now. When do you think they will start spawning?
Let's see, when's the full moon? They already are in South Georgia, and they will up here in the next 2 weeks.
Next 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, they'll drag it out now for all the 2 weeks, according to, you know, one thing that has to do with it is which side of the lake are they on? Which side of the lake has the warmest water?
Probably going to be the side with the Chattahoochee coming in up there by Sunset Point,
yep.
Ringer.
Uh-huh.
We were fishing on the other side of the lake, but we still done pretty good.
Oh, I know you did.
Had a lot of fun until it got cold out there.
Well, you paid the price, but it worked with some sweet-tasting crappie fillets.
Oh, yes, sir, they were.
I wish I had some this weekend. I could sure stand it.
Oh, well, is Hartwell, I know I heard you talking about Hartwell earlier. Is that a good fishing for crappie? I bought my boat up that way, but I've never been fishing up that way.
Well, the only thing that makes it a little bit more difficult than some of the other lakes is the fact that the water's so clear.
Yeah, I did notice that when they took us out on the test drive before we bought the boat. It is very clear water.
Yeah, clear water always fishes more difficult than stained water. Because the fish are deeper,
yeah,
and we don't fish deep enough.
Well, the one good thing about it is you can see the bass.
Yeah, you can see them on the
water
bed.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, my good friend. Glad you called. Be safe and stay in touch with us every week.
All right. Thanks, sir.
You bet. Thanks a million, Pat. Let's see, 27 after. I've got time to do this. The question was, when I described my coldest day on the water, I described going to a particular lake, and Alan is calling from Newnan, Georgia. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
And what lake was it I described? This question was too easy, wasn't it?
It was pretty easy.
I wanted to give away everything, and you won quite a prize package. If you can tell me what lake that was, and it is?
Lake Hartwell.
Lake Hartwell, that's exactly right. 3 degrees that day, and I'll never do it again.
I don't blame you.
No kidding. All right, do we have all your information from you, Alan?
He's fixing to get it, or you or somebody is.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you back on hold, pal. And I appreciate your participation in the program. I'll put you back on hold. And this is O'Neill outside, bottom of the hour, news, weather, sports, and traffic. And then we'll talk to Josh, and we'll just talk to all of you at the same time. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. We're talking about so many things today on O'Neill outside. We've had about an hour and a half of it, and we're reaching out to people and investigating some of their experiences by interviewing people like Josh from Covington, who's going to tell us about the coldest day he spent hunting or fishing. What was it, Josh?
Well, it was trout fishing behind Buford Dam.
Uh-huh.
It was about, actually, New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
Back in 97. I can't remember how cold it was. I know it was well below freezing and it was snowing. Well, me and two of my friends went out there and we had on waders.
Oh, boy.
Well, my friend had these expensive neoprene waders.
Uh-huh.
And we had these two. Me and the other guy had these little plastic waders. So we get out in the water, and instantly mine catches on a rock and tears.
Oh.
And the water had to be 30-something degrees.
Sure, coming out from underneath the dam there, you bet.
And it was a miserable day. We only caught two trout, and then the next thing I know, they start raising the water level. So we have to run for our lives. The water's freezing. I'm already freezing. We make it to the bank, and it was just a miserable day. Two trout, freezing, covered in cold water. That's probably my coldest day fishing ever.
Well, that makes you want to go back and make up for it.
Oh, it really does, but it's going to be in the springtime this time.
Ah, good choice.
In the winter.
Good choice. I'm glad you called, pal.
Glad I got to talk to you. I love your show, and I listen to you every Saturday morning, and I watch you every time I get a chance to on TV.
Well, you're very kind to mention that, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Stay in touch more often.
All right, no problem. I'll do that.
Please do that. There you go. Hey, David's going to call us and tell us about the coldest day he spent. Good morning, David.
Good morning, O'Neill. It's good to hear you there. You're doing double work this morning.
Man, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, I was going to tell you, back in 1979, I was in the military, and then I got out and worked as a game warden for the state of Hawaii on the Big Island.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Okefenokee Swamp, South Georgia, where, you know, we never seen so snow in my life, just some snowflakes. But I was working on the mountain, Mauna Kea, which means snow cap Hawaii, and it was we were trying to get some of the wildlife that got trapped up there on the snow top, and it was 2 to 7 degrees with 6 feet of snow in Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness.
I never seen that much snow in my life, and that wind coming out from the tropical storm areas, when it comes over, it leaves a lot of snow up there.
Oh, yeah, it leaves moisture on top of the mountain.
Yeah, and then that was in November. And then in March of that year, the other mountain called Mauna Loa, which means fire cap in Hawaii, Kilauea Crater, it shot out all that hot lava.
Uh-huh.
And we were in helicopters trying to retrieve all the wildlife that get stuck with those islands with the lava fields coming down.
Right.
And it was 104 to 107 degrees there.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's all in 4 months over there.
In four months, the hottest day and the coldest day.
Yeah, it was. I never seen anything like it in my life, but that lava, it won't let you get real close to it.
Molten rock, I would suppose so.
Didn't you go to Maui to hunt? For vacation?
I've been to Maui, but I wasn't hunting, except I was hunting a few days off.
Oh, okay. I remember you saying y'all been over there. Y'all getting ready to go back?
Well, one day I sure hope so.
Well, have you tried the Big Island out?
We went there once for about 5 or 6 days.
Oh, okay.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, Woman Williams just told me we were there 2 weeks.
Oh,
that was
really?
A long time ago when I had more money.
Yeah, that's true. That's a hard place to live if you not a movie star or somebody over
there. Yeah, no kidding.
One quick thing here, and I get off. I was riding horses through the Parker Ranch one day, and I said, and there was a couple guys on horses coming back over the hill. And I said, I've seen that person before, and you ain't going to believe it. It was John Wayne on his ranch over there.
No kidding. Said, what a thrill.
And it was just like he said in the movies. And he was very nice. He had Lee Marvin with him, his partner over there. But I just wanted to let you know.
Well, I'm sure that was a thrill. I wish I had been there.
Well,
hey, stay in touch more often, David.
Well, you have a nice weekend.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, pal. You bet. There he goes. John Wayne on Maui. What an experience. And here's Hank the Yank. What do you say?
What do I say? If you're talking the Big Island, I'm talking Staten Island.
Oh. Yes, you are.
That's the Big Island. And Josh, come on, buddy. You got to do better than that. Catching two trout and being cold as you can be at Buford Day, don't get any better than that. That's as good a day as it gets.
And he's still talking about it, too.
And he's still talking. Do you remember when you and I went to the Amicalola and you said to me, we have on tape, you saying to me, my feet are like blocks of ice right now.
Yeah, what were we doing up there? Are we knuckleheads or not?
Well, that's for another. We are definitely knuckleheads, but we were testing out the newly. That was one of the first. That may have been the first or second year that the DNR put in the delayed harvest, and you and I went up there and experienced it at the Amicalola, and we killed them. Do you remember?
Yes, indeed. We caught plenty, and that's going on now, isn't it?
It is. But I just remember you saying, "I go, how do you feel, O'Neill?" And you see, and on camera, you said, my feet are like blocks of ice. I'll never forget that.
That's great.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, I just told everybody one of your coldest days.
So, tell me about the delayed harvest. What's going on?
Well, delayed harvest is still going on strong, at all the, all five streams here in North Georgia. They're still, that'll continue until the 1st of May. But what is exciting is that the DNR announced this week that they're stocking all the streams earlier this year.
Okay.
And all the streams are getting their first shot of about, I want to say, 80,000 fish. 80,000 fish are being put in all throughout the state this week.
Uh-huh.
They're putting them in. So, which is earlier than when they normally stock, but our streams are now 24/7. You can trout fish all year long. There is no more quote-unquote opening day. It's always opening day. Every day is opening day for trout season. It's just that we do have delayed harvest streams where you can't take fish, but for the rest of the streams, you can now fish them 24/7. And when I say 24, I really should say 12/7. You can't
right.
fish them at night. You can fish them during the day, but every day. So we don't have a closed season for trout anymore. So the Trout God of Atlanta is stocking them up a little early this year, probably a couple weeks earlier, due to the nice weather we're having and the fact that the streams are all open. So, that goes to, you remember, what was the name of that little kid he's not a little kid anymore, who used to call up you and say his father and him would go up to Wildcat Creek. Do you remember that young man?
I don't remember his name.
But
was
you know
it
who
Andy?
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Andy.
It was Andy. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Andy, you said Wildcat Creek will be stocked this week. This coming week, they'll start stocking Wildcat Creek for those folks that want
I,
to
I think Andy system. Now is at the University of Georgia, and he's going to be a doctor.
I love that. Well, I'm happy for him being whatever he wants to be, but at least he picked a college that's red.
There you are. that's good.
That's all I care about. He picked
he's a bullfrog.
College. There you go. No orange. No orange for our buddy Andy. So, anyway, that's what's happening. I'm on our way up to the pond. The pond has been fishing extremely well once again, O'Neill. It's just amazing what happens when the water level is down 10 feet, which I hate. But the fact that everything is down 10 feet and we've had a mild winter and we're on the full moon tomorrow, which is tomorrow. We move the clocks ahead tomorrow for
yes.
all our listeners. But this past week has been nothing short of phenomenal. The fish are eating on top. They're eating every day. And just huge numbers of reported huge numbers of fish coming up by not only the bait guys, but by the fly community as well. I mean, just I can't tell you how many 8, 10, 12, 15 fish per man days guys are having with the fly rod still.
Fantastic.
It's just fantastic.
So, fantastic.
Anyway, that's all I got for you, pal.
Well, that's enough. It's quite a bit.
That's quite a bit. I'm going to go stop off here at Dunkin' D, get a coffee, and listen to O'Neill and Gail and Mike Hayes.
You betcha. It's coming up.
Okay, pal. You have a great weekend.
You too, pal. See you soon. There you go. Here's Mike. He's calling from Monroe, Georgia. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mr. Williams.
Hey there.
I got a question for you.
Go.
That Bug Band
yes.
Wipes, where do you find that at? I can't find it anywhere.
I think it's at Walmart. I know it's at Target and
okay.
Bass Pro Shop. And I think you can buy them online also at bugband.com.
Okay. I went over to Bass Pro Shop and they looked at me like I was crazy.
Oh, well, you know. But hey, you know something that really works?
Yeah.
It really does. It's the fragrance of a geranium.
Huh.
A natural repellent that you can use and doesn't have DEET in it, which you can't put on your skin.
Yeah, I use the wristbands, and I even put one on my dog.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
I take him in the woods.
You can wipe
that's about the only time I don't hadn't got ticks is when I carried that, and I thought the wipes might be really good for turkey season.
Oh, it's great, and you can use those Bug Band wipes. And
right.
that will handle, you can put it right on your wrist, around your ankles, around your neck, and with all these turkey hunters going out and you need to keep the ticks off of you, that's bad news.
Yeah. I even thought about, after I wipe down with it, just take the wipe and put it in my hat.
Yeah. That's good. Hey, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And
that's a great idea. I'll have to use that.
Wipe your dog's feet off, too.
Oh, that's good. Woman Williams says wipe the dog's feet off.
Yeah.
Glad you called, Mike.
I can hold all down.
Exactly.
Glad you called, pal.
Thank you, sir. Have
you
a nice
bet.
Day.
I'll see you soon there. There you go. Hey, let's talk quickly before we go to Mike Hayes. Let's quickly talk to Theophile Jean-Antoine Bourgeois III. Tophiel, what do you say, big guy?
Doing all right, cuz. That's how you'd read it when you see it for the first time.
That's exactly right.
So
how's the fishing in the marsh?
Oh, man, fishing's actually getting a lot better because we got 27 people here right now from South Carolina. We got 9 boats running. They've been here 5 days, man. I think they moved in on me. I don't think they actually leave. But a lot of speckled trout, a lot of redfish right now, O'Neill. Been doing good because this is the threshold of the season, of things really getting started. These boats right now, they're averaging between 50, 60 fish a day.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty good there, cuz. This is look like going to be our bumper year for speckled trout. It was a great fall last year.
Uh-huh.
And now coming to this year, man, we're catching a lot of trout already, which is a little unusual because we don't normally get those numbers until, like, April.
Right.
So they're there, cuz. They're waiting
on you.
Well, yeah,
that's it. I want everybody to please. I just wrote an article about Cajun Vista and Tophiel Bourgeois. It'll be out in a month.
Okay. Well, you must have been telling some friends and family because we've been having a lot of people call from Georgia saying that they're from watching your show or hearing you on the radio. So Joe's telling me, yeah, well, Neil, because we got a little graph of where people come from.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the week, she showed me where she's booking from to get an idea what state's the most productive. And Georgia's been hitting the mark, man. So that's good. So,
I take full credit.
I give you full credit.
Okay, mighty fine. And I'm looking forward to our trip with you. I'll have about 30 there in September.
That'll work, cuz. We might have one or two trout left over by September. The way they catch them now, I'm sure there'll be a couple left over, cuz.
Mighty fine. I'll be looking forward to my nice grilled redfish that you prepared.
Oh, you better know it, man. That we grilled 35 last night.
You're hot 35. Stuff. I'm glad you called, Tophiel. Stay in touch more often.
Yes, sir. Y'all take it easy, and we'll see you down the road.
You betcha.
No doubt.
Good luck to you, pal.
Amen.
You bet. There you go. And here is Mike Hayes.
Hey there, Mike Hayes. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Woman Williams. Is it cold on the mountain?
It is rather chilly, yes. 10 degrees
I bet
cooler.
It is.
Yes, 10 degrees cooler wherever you are, I promise you.
Ooh, that's awesome.
I understand that you took a trip recently, that you went down to the happiest place on earth. Is that true?
Oh, my goodness, the word travels. We went down to see Mickey Mouse. It was absolutely fantastic. Loaded up my Durango, my three-row seat Durango, and took off. We had a ball.
Oh, you did drive and not fly.
Yeah, we drove down and actually done a whole lot better than I thought. We got 24 miles a gallon in that Durango running down 75. Ain't that great?
My goodness, that's fantastic. So,
but we took,
how many can you seat in your Durango?
Well, we took the grandkids. Well, we took two of them. Took the two girls and their parents, and we had a ball. Loaded to the gills, though. Looked like a bunch of gypsies going down the road.
Oh, but how much fun can you have? You know. Yeah. So that was five of you or six?
Six of us.
Six of you in a car. Oh boy.
Yeah.
How old are they?
17 and 15.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, did you ride the rides with them?
No. No, no, no. I'm smarter than that.
You said that mighty, mighty quick. Well, you know, it can't get much better than having your family with you in a fabulous automobile at 24 miles per gallon on the way to Disney World.
It was fantastic.
World.
They walked me to death. But I tell you what, it was something else. But them kids, they got energy. They just go and go and go.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to bottle and sell it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you ought to have seen the stormtroopers doing their little march. It was really, really cool.
The stormtroopers?
Yeah, the Star Wars. They had the stormtroopers out marching around.
Oh, that's a new one on me. I have not been in a while. I'm going to sneak in and go with you next time. You can get one more person in that Durango. All right. You have a wonderful week, and stay out of the snow in case you get any. And we'll talk to you next week.
No, you keep all the snow up there.
Okay. We'll,
all right. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. This week's Medal of Honor recipient brought to you by Hayes Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
Richard Pittman, Lance Corporal, Marine Corps, Vietnam, July 1966. While Marine Company 1 was coming under fire, Pittman quickly exchanged his rifle for a machine gun and began raking the intense enemy small arms fire at point-blank range. He returned the fire, and he came under heavy fire from two automatic weapons, which he promptly destroyed. Learning that there were additional wounded Marines 50 yards further up the trail, he braved a hail of small arms fire to reach the position where the leading Marines had fallen. He confronted the attack by 40 enemy. He raked the position with devastating machine gun fire and killed dozens. His weapon rendered ineffective, he picked up an enemy machine gun and pistol and confronted the enemy force until they had withdrawn. Sergeant Pittman's daring initiative, his bold fighting spirit, and selfless devotion to duty inflicted dozens of casualties and killed dozens. Richard Pittman died October 16th, 2016.
And that was which war?
2016.
No, the war.
Yeah, Vietnam.
Vietnam.
Yeah, wow. In July 1966. Anyway, Medal of Honor recipient. And I'm proud via Hayes Chrysler Plymouth to be able to read that to you every week. Okay, last thing before we go and maybe go back and take a nap. Remember those coldest, the hottest, and the best days you've spent outdoors. And remember this, if you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along under good weather, you're too busy. This is O'Neill, and I'll see you guys next week with a DNR visit about turkey hunting. Oh, boy.
I love that.
You bet. See you soon. Georgia.